Afternoon, everybody. Great to have you with us. For those joining us, we are thinking about patience, and last week we were thinking particularly about God's patience towards us, and what a great theme that is written across the whole of the scriptures. And today we're going to be thinking a bit more about how we grow in patience. The title of the session is Growing Impatient, and that sounds far too much like growing impatience. It's like that other radio show called Crossing Continents, which sounds too much like angry people who are also struggling with... Anyway, the hope and prayer for today is that patience is a theme that we reflect on. How can the Lord help us with that? What would it look like to be a more patient church, to be more patient in our Christian lives? And so there's a handout. Hopefully you've got sight of that. We're going to work through that handout and then have some time to respond, singing and praying together towards the end of this hour. So as we start, let me pray for us. Our Father, we rejoice again to think of your patience towards us. As Paul celebrates, your immense patience, that you have lingered long enough that we might hear the gospel and receive it, and all the ways since. For many of us, as we've lived the Christian life, we know how we have tried your patience, and yet you have been unfailingly slow to anger, rich in love, abounding in good things for us. So we praise you for that. And we want to pray that, please, as we think now about what it would mean for us to grow in patience, that you would be our helper, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. At the end of the last session, there were a few questions that I left you with as we started thinking about our own patience and how we might grow in that. Really, the key question is there on the handout, and I'd love you to spend a little while thinking about it on your tables and discussing together, why is patience a struggle for us? Why do we find it hard to exercise patience, to endure the need to be patient? So I think there's quite a few different things to try and spread out there as we think about patience in different senses and the pressures on us. So around tables, a good 5 minutes or so, why is patience a struggle for us? Off you go. All right, let's see how we got on. A reassuring amount of conversation happening around the room, partly because actually we're having to admit some things about ourselves, and that's good to be able to do alongside things that we're noticing about the world and life in it, but also some things about ourselves, I guess. Let's start over here. Why is patience a struggle for us? Let's get us going. Because other people are so annoying. Yeah. Anyone? No. In general terms, please develop it.
We're very quick to justify our own position and lead to our own defence when our faults emerge. You know, we give a reason why. When you need to understand, I've had a bad day or whatever it might be. But when someone else is at fault, you know, we're very quick to jump down their throat as if we have higher expectations of them. Having said that, someone else said, and I think it's true, that we are also impatient with ourselves. We set goals for ourselves that we then fail to attain, and that that can be a real struggle as well. That we're not even living up to our own expectations, let alone other people's expectations.
Yeah, really helpful. Thank you.
Seeds, and we have to put effort into growing the seeds and nurturing things and cultivating them, and we don't want to put the effort in, we want it already,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good. So the way that actually we live in a slightly instant world, don't we? So that sense of we want immediate, very quick results, and so the thought of having to sow seeds and then wait where things are outside of our control for something to grow, that's a lot of how the Bible, and we're going to develop it, we'll see that a bit more as we go on. The Bible speaks to us about life and ministry in those ways, but we want the instant you know, it takes too long to cook up some porridge. We need the instant oats, toast or breakfast. That takes far too long to make. Just the Pop-Tart, pop it in. Still got to wait 2 minutes for that thing to pop. So yeah, a lot about modern life just pushes us in our impatience. Strands there you want to keep pulling on, or other places you want to take us?
Our selfishness and just wanting to grasp at things that aren't promised to us now. And so kind of if we think back to what you were teaching in the Genesis series a couple of times ago, Abraham's promises, we grasp at things that are not ours.
Mm.
And when those don't come, we become impatient, and we become impatient with other people because they're not, we're not seeing those blessings.
Yeah.
But also selfishness in, you know, I want things on my way, I want, you know, everyone to dance to my tune. And that's
yeah. Tom's going to check that out. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
great. So that the selfishness that lies at the heart of a lot of our impatience, where, yes, we just want the world to work for us, and we want other people to sort of bend to our will and anticipate our needs. That's just very easily how we interact with the world. There's that line, we've spoken about it before, but somebody just really helpfully putting their finger on when we're experiencing the frustrations of life where our checkout queue just seems to be moving slower, or our lane in traffic seems to be moving slower. There's not just the sense of this is a bit inconvenient, but this is personally unfair to me. The universe ought to have allowed mine to go faster. So that's pretty baked in. And then, Jenny, that other thought, really helpful, the thought of wanting to try and take hold of things now, either that God has promised in the future, and we see that in the case of Abraham and others, where God has promised Abraham and Sarah a child, and at the moment they're not able to have a child, and so they cook up the plan of sleeping with Hagar so that they can bring about God's promise, because rather than waiting and trusting and acknowledging their own impotence, they want to try and take matters into their own hands. And so there's a danger that we think about blessings that God has promised us and we try and bring those into the present. Or there'll be some things which we think would be good for us, but God hasn't promised us. And again, we want to take those and grab those. Really helpful. Thank you. This end of the room, anything you want to chip in? Yeah.
I was thinking, particularly with the children at work, I see it a lot, like, if I don't get that smack now, what have we got?
Right.
I'm never going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So just, again, for the recording, that thought that is in our mind that actually if I don't take that thing now or don't work as hard as I can to get it now, it won't come. There won't be another opportunity. And so a lack of trust that God has good things in store. Yeah, really helpful. Over at the sound desk, I overheard at least one really helpful thing. Guess what it was? So far, do you notice what we've actually thought about, and encouragingly and rightly, is me and my attitude towards the world. That's a lot of what we've spoken of, and how I can be impatient towards other people. Jonathan, I think I just heard you speaking a bit about genuine things out there in the world that we would love to see fixed. Did I overhear that right?
The world sometimes presents impatience as a virtue. Everyone wants to see social justices improved. And Ben was building up, perhaps if we were more fervent about patience, we would use a different word than impatience to describe the rate at which we want to see these things changed.
Okay. And does anyone want to speak up for, not impatience, but for something slightly more healthy than just the self-righteousness and selfishness that we've been talking about?
Faith and patience. When we have to wait for things, I think God just tests us to see, you know, if we have the character to keep believing when It doesn't seem like it's going to happen all the years around. It's going round and round the desert for 40 years without the right character to be able to go into the promised land that God is working. Mm. Our character, that we should have faith and not to lose hope. And
yeah, thank you. So you've taken us to Hebrews, and it's a verse we're going to pick up on later, thinking about that pattern right the way through the Old Testament of people learning to wait for God to fulfill his promises in the right time. There's part of what makes it hard to be patient is to recognize that the world is broken, that we suffer, that we are longing for things to be fixed. And there is a how long, O Lord, prayer in the Bible. There is a sense of when will this come? When will the Lord put things right? And we are called to patience, not just because we struggle with our own self-righteousness and selfishness, but because the world is in a mess. And so we recognize that. And we've got to think quite carefully what the right response to that is. The world can be impatient about some change, and the right response for us wouldn't be to say, God will do it when he's going to, and sit back. We've thought this morning about how Christians were very active in bringing an end to slavery. There was a right sense of, that ought not to happen, that ought to change, let's get involved. But in other ways, we're called to a sense of patience. So I think we actually need to think that through quite carefully. Where are we called to action, to diligence, to be proactive? Where are we called to actually cultivate patience in a world that is not just impatient for change, but prepared to do anything to get it? And that's one of the places where we're going to need to draw a line, the means as well as the ends. All right, let's get going into the material then, and try and hold on to those thoughts and think a bit more about patience. So the first heading there, patience as God's work in us and something to pursue. Two passages to turn to there. First of all, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here is Paul listing out the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. That's patience, one of the words that the Bible will use for patience. And so the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The enormously encouraging thing about that thought is this is what the Spirit works in us. As Paul thinks about what sorts of things come from the flesh and what sorts of things come from the Spirit, he very carefully uses different words. He talks about the works of the flesh, the things that we do. But he doesn't talk about the works of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. What it is that God, over time, as we've been reminded of this, the fruit image is an image of patient, growing, cultivating. It's what God is going to work in us. Something enormously encouraging about the thought that the Holy Spirit is with us to help us in all of this. And then at Colossians chapter 1, and some verses from Paul's prayer at the start of Colossians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father. We'll pause there. But you see Paul's prayer that God would be at work, verse 11, strengthening them with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. There's an encouragement and a challenge there. The encouragement is that we can call on God to work by his mighty power to work these things in us. And expect him to answer that prayer. The challenge is to recognize what might God do with that all power and glorious might. We often would just love him to come and zap it now, just fix it. And actually Paul's prayer here is that all of that might and power might be brought to bear so that we have endurance and patience. Because God's plan is not to put everything right immediately, but actually to cause us to grow in endurance and patience. So it is God's work in us. If this just feels like a battle in the Christian life where you feel so defeated, there is hope. The Spirit is at work, but also something to pray towards and to work towards. Then, what does patience mean for us? And as you look across your Bible, you'll find different words being used, and in the past, we've had some slightly more old-fashioned words, and they quite helpfully spread out the pieces a little bit for us. When we say patience, what do we mean? We're going to think about two particular headings. They're not watertight compartments, but they just help us think a bit more, what are we trying to say? The two words would be forbearance and long-suffering. Those are the two words we're going to use. So the first, the idea of forbearance, or the idea of bearing with. It's a word that usually comes up when we need to bear with people because we are faced either with sin or with weakness. Say a few places where we see that coming up. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So that bearing with one another, showing one another patience, where we might find people to be irritating or slow or whatever it is that means we're quickly angered. Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. So you see how each time Paul uses a word that means patience and then moves straight on to bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. It's a really interesting verse, isn't it, that spreads out the different kinds of people we might meet in church life. And in some ways, there is a bespoke response to each of them. To the idle, we're to warn, and the disruptive. We're to encourage the disheartened. We're to help the weak. But then comes, be patient with everyone, each and every one of them. In the way that we warn, in the way that we encourage, in the way that we help, that ought to be marked by a kind of patience. So where we meet somebody who is weak and struggling, we don't despise that, we're not impatient with them, but we respond in patience. Even those who are idle and disruptive, there is a gentleness and a patience to the way that we relate to them. So one aspect of patience is this idea of bearing with others. Let's just go back onto our tables to think a bit more about that particular question. We've spent a bit of time, I suppose, on that first question, what makes it hard to be patient in this way? But having focused down just a little bit more on this question of how we bear with others or how we don't, how we show them forgiveness and are patient with them, you might find that there's more to say there. But then to ask, what does impatience look like for you? It will often manifest itself in slightly different ways. For some of us, it might be anger. It might be quite a kind of hot reaction to people. For others of us, it might just be, I can't really deal with people, and so I just withdraw. And I don't make time for people because I know I'm going to get impatient. It might be something else. So just as you reflect around tables, if you feel able to, why not just ask that question, what does that kind of impatience, when you meet other people, who are sinning against you, or who are just weak in some way, how does that show itself? And then, what truths would help us here in particular, do you think? If my struggle with patience is more about bearing with people who I find it hard to bear with, what truths would particularly be helpful to me? Again, just a few minutes on tables to think about those. All right, let's come back together. We won't work through these three questions as we feedback, but I'd just love to hear just things that you've heard on, around your tables that you thought just particularly helpful and useful for others. So, over to you. What's kind of stood out? What's been helpful that you've heard?
There but for the grace of God go I.
Yeah, good. Yeah. There but for the grace of God go I. Go on, let's fill that out a little bit more. How is that going to be a helpful thought?
Well, you can look at the situation, being impatient with somebody, for example, because of the way they're dealing with something, and think, well, under different circumstances, had I not had that teaching, that support, whatever, in the past, then I could be in exactly that position and feeling exactly that way and dealing with it as badly.
Yeah.
Which can help you be more patient.
Yeah, wonderful, thank you. Yeah. That thought that this person is really just made of the same stuff as me. And it might be that my upbringing, my background, my the Christian maturity that I have, all of those things are helping me to respond a little bit better in this situation. But what do I have that I didn't receive? Can I take the credit for any of those things? Absolutely not. Yeah, really helpful thoughts. Thank you.
I think for myself, as I used to be before, when I was not a Christian as a student, I was quite kind of argumentative. I feel I'm very ambitious and everything, and then God gave me a mother who had a series of strokes and was disabled, and God said to me to look after her, serve her, and I feel, you know, it was through having someone who's very slow to do things and she didn't remember everything and she needed help with everything. It was really a great lesson for me to have to serve her and not be, you know, always wanting my own way in each community. And I'm just was going to say this scripture from James: let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Because when we're impatient, angry, we're in me, or someone else doesn't do it the way I want it done.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Really helpful. So that recognition that actually God will very often help us in this, not by giving us a book or an idea that is just going to, the penny's going to drop. It's so often going to be, I'm going to give you a season of life where you are just going to learn to slow down and to care for somebody else or just experience weakness in your own life as a way of addressing some of our impatience. Really helpful. Others, just anything that stood out particularly you were chatting?
Read out the verse about, is it doing good?
Verse 15, and this one's follow. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone.
It's hard to...
It's hard to be
impatient.
Yeah,
if you read that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You're
definitely seeking good of others.
Yeah. And or
it's hard to feel impatient at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So here potentially our best defense is a kind of offense.
Yeah.
It's a kind of just instead of waiting for something to happen to cause me to be impatient, actually be proactively trying to do good to people. And that's not... that's not the silver bullet. There is no silver bullet, but a really helpful thought. Yeah, thank you.
Tom has a very good point about the difference between being patient and looking patient. yes. And definitely make sure we're also being patient.
Yeah, good. And that is helpful to recognise, isn't it? It is not that those of us who are just tempted to blow up at people have a problem with impatience and other people who can keep a lid on it are fine. No, actually, inwardly, they can be absolutely seething or just despising somebody in a very cold, measured, it's not going to show kind of way. So recognising that is a really helpful thing, I think. And then just truths that would help us. We've touched on some already, haven't we? Just the thought that actually we are, all of us, by nature... dead in our sins, helpless, in need of God's mercy. So the way that the doctrine of original sin is just that great leveler that teaches us that we've got nothing to boast of, nothing to look down on other people for. And as we were thinking about last week, in particular, God's patience towards us is brought to bear here. So where we are tempted to be impatient with others, where we're tempted not to be forgiving, not to be merciful, the Bible will just continually say, don't you see how God has treated you? Don't you remember what you've been forgiven, how he has been patient with you? And so reflecting on some of the things we covered last week can be a real help here. So bearing with others is one particular aspect of patience. When we feel provoked by them in some way. The other idea, and as I said, they're overlapping, but I think it's helpful to separate them out, is this idea of long-suffering. In the NIV, at least, translation, there's a little cluster of words that all mean something like patience, but they're sometimes translated in these other ways, perseverance, endurance, being steadfast. So patient is not just a passive thing, but actually actively pressing on, enduring, persevering, being long-suffering in that way. A few verses that kind of point more in that direction that use some of those terms. In the parable of the sower, the last seed, the seed that falls on good soil, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Something for us to aim to be are those who bear fruit with patience, compared to those thorns that grow up and choke off the seed or the cares of the world, but to be those who bear fruit with patience. Hebrews 10, verse 36, speaks about how you have need of endurance, another of these patience words, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Or think of the words of Jesus to the churches in Revelation. Very often he will speak about how he knows their works, their toil, and their patient endurance. And in the context of those letters, that is particularly in the face of opposition and hardship. And later on when he describes these beasts that will emerge, who with violence or with false teaching are going to assail the church in Revelation 13, the revealer of those things to John will say, this calls for patient endurance on behalf of the saints. In the face of those things, there's a kind of determined perseverance, holding on holding fast. What would the flip side to that kind of patience look like? Let's just think about that for a moment. There would be the risk simply of giving up. So it's the risk in Hebrews and elsewhere where people are just now tempted to draw back, to keep their heads down. Being a Christian is just increasingly hard and difficult and causing opposition, and so they give up. It might, though, look like turning aside. It might be thinking, there are things which God has promised, but that frankly feels like a long way off. And there are other things which I'm going to start prioritizing, things which are a little more tangible. It might still involve a kind of patience. It might be the patience that says, I'm going to work really hard, put money aside, and hang on till retirement. So there are forms of patience in the world that are cultivating a kind of habit of patience, but actually putting their hope in other things. It might be turning aside for just very more immediate gains. And short-term wins and more immediate pleasures. But in patience, in the face of that call to endure, it might be that we give up. It might be that we still show up Sunday by Sunday, but actually the things that we're living for, the things that we're putting our hope in, are no longer what God has promised. It might be bitterness. Towards God, I suppose, in particular, it's the lesson, isn't it, from Israel's history that increasingly they just grow bitter towards God. They know there's a promised land that's been promised to them. It is taking longer than they hoped for to get there. And so it turns into a kind of bitterness and a hardness of heart and a suspicion that God is against them. Again, that can be a visible and outward bitterness towards God. That means we just walk away from everything. It can be sitting here on a Sunday morning and just feeling like I'm hearing about this God, but I just don't trust him, and I'm just keeping my distance from him. It can mean a kind of pragmatism. So it's in some ways the Abraham and Sarah thought, God has promised something. How can we short-circuit this long process? How can we make it happen just a lot more quickly? There are ways in which that plays out in ministry, in Christian ministry and leadership. So there are all sorts of reasons why leaders become quite domineering. One of them is actually a real desire to see people grow in the Christian life. It can actually start out as quite a kind of a right hope, and thinking, I want us to be prayerful and I want us to be godly. But to think, instead of praying and preaching and counseling and being alongside people, that we start to lay down a few more rules and apply a bit more pressure. And as I say, sometimes out of a decent motive, very quickly things spiral and things become much more domineering. It can happen in our own lives where we look at the growth that we would like to make and again are impatient for that kind of growth. And we think that some sort of taking myself in hand, treating myself harshly, treating my body harshly, or searching for the seven things that are going to activate Christian godliness in my life and going from one to another, thinking that I can engineer that and speed that up. It can happen in our evangelism where we think we would love to be growing. And so let's just minimize how we talk about some things. Let's make sure that above all it is just really fun and very attractive outwardly without being clear on the gospel and its implications. So there's a kind of pragmatism. We know what God is has promised and trying to speed that up. It can involve retaliation, particularly where we're thinking about where there's opposition and violence against us, and that danger of being those who just seek to retaliate. Other things too, but maybe that's just a helpful way of spreading out some of the risks for us. What will help us then? Let's think about the promise of fruit in this life. There are a few passages in the New Testament that particularly speak about how patience and perseverance has its role to play in a virtuous kind of circle. So Romans 5, Paul says that we boast in our hope in God. We also boast in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. It's easy to think that it works the other way around, isn't it? To think, actually, if I'm somebody who's got a really strong hope, then that's going to help me to be patient. But Paul is actually here thinking about it the other way around. Both are probably true. It is a virtuous cycle in that way. But to know that the opportunity of suffering is not good in and of itself, but actually it is often God's school for teaching us patient endurance and trusting him. And if we do that, there's a kind of provenness and a habit that's formed and a character that's reaped. And with that comes a deeper hope. The more that we invest our hope in those things rather than play the odds and diversify our portfolio, the more that we're saying, God is my hope, I'm going to stick with him, then actually our hope is strengthened and deepened. James will say something similar. You've got the verse there. So there is... there's an encouragement towards cultivating patience now for the benefits that you're genuinely going to enjoy in this life, a deeper sense of hope, a godly character. Then there is the promise of reward in the world to come, Hebrews 12. Let us run with that patience, that perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For the joy set before him, he endured. He had that patient, long-suffering. Or James 1, verse 2, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So blessings in this world, blessings in the world to come. Confidence that God will judge justly is really going to help us, particularly in those moments where we feel sinned against, where we feel attacked, where we feel opposed. Speaking of Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So there we've already thought, haven't we, about the way that God's patience towards us is a really helpful thought. As we think about his patience towards us, that's going to help us be patient towards others. But it's also helpful to reflect on the fact that God's patience isn't endless. There will be a day when he brings the world to judgment. And that too is a spur towards our patience. Not because, oh great, if he's going to judge in the future, I can do some judging now. But trusting him that he will set those things straight, that he will one day judge justly. And that's crucial as we think about following in the footsteps of Jesus. So a number of things that we could be reflecting on, the benefits of patience now, the promise of that reward to come, and the promise that God will judge justly. But then, more than I can think the Bible does for other virtues, it really wants to keep showing us examples of patience. I can't think of another virtue in the Bible that it encourages us to, that it so often says, have a look at them. See it worked out in their life. But when you think about it for patience in the Bible, there's examples in all kinds of directions. Hebrews 6, we heard it earlier, emphasizes the general idea. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And Hebrews 11 is going to say, go through the Old Testament. You're going to find case after case of people who are patiently enduring and giving up the good things in this world for the life of the world to come. Other scriptures will take us in other directions. James chapter 5, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. What it is to be a farmer. I've got to know one recently. One of the other dads at Digby's Cricket Club is a farmer. And so just hearing a little of his experience of the last few summers and the highs and lows and that sense that there is so little here that's under my control. But my calling is to try and tend my crops, to sow the seed, and then to wait and to be patient and to trust that things will come. That is our calling, to reflect on the way that there is so much that is outside of our control. There are some responsibilities that we have to sow, to water, but it is God who will give the growth. And then in the lives of particular believers, James in the same chapter will take us on to Job. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who've persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. It's just a helpful thought, isn't it, to remember Job as a patient man. He had questions, right? He had questions for God and brought them and wrestled with God. The patience is a continuing on with God and holding on and trusting him and waiting on him. The Apostle Paul, he may not strike us as the most patient character. We were reflecting a bit on that this morning in 1 Timothy, his letter to the Galatians, likewise is an exasperated, concerned and frustrated kind of a letter. But actually, he invites us to reflect on his patience. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. And actually, when he is forced into talking about himself, and when he talks about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians and elsewhere, you realize the length of his Christian life is the story of him being opposed and under the threat of death, and without anything to his name. And moving from place to place. An astonishing example of patience when you think about it. But above all, the Lord Jesus. And as we move towards a bit of a close, thinking about the power of these great examples for us, back on your tables for a moment, how is Jesus' life a model of patience in both of those senses, in the ways that you see him bearing with people and in the way that you see him enduring faithfully Again, they overlap, but just in 5 minutes, let's spend a little bit of time thinking about Jesus' own life, and that might encourage us. Off you go. All right, give us one thing each. Over there.
We were just talking about the disciples and how we all completely lost our patience with the disciples many, many times.
Right. Yeah, great. So the disciples, how easily we would lose patience with the disciples, even though we're kind of essentially the same as them. So, yeah. Great. Thank you. Over here. Yeah, thank you. And we could just spread out all of the ways in which he comes and experiences just that painful, broken world. Yeah, in the losses and the hardships. And yeah, thank you. Did you hear?
His long walk to Jerusalem.
The long walk to Jerusalem, yeah.
He didn't take the glory offered to him by Satan at the beginning of his ministry.
Yeah, none of those shortcuts. So, it's very similar to, you know, the life of David. There's that point where he knows he's going to be king, but he spends ages just chased around by Saul. And there are these moments where he's in the back of the cave and there's Saul and I could just strike him down and I'll be king now. But no, I'm going to wait until it's God's time. The patience of Jesus in, yeah, refusing those shortcuts and setting his face towards Jerusalem. Yeah, there's an astonishing... It's a great title to a book. It's called The 3 Mile an Hour God. And 3 miles an hour is basically walking pace. And says, isn't it just astonishing that God came at a point into the world where that was about as fast as he could go? That he didn't come in the kind of age of Concord and zoom around the world. Actually, he was prepared to walk and to be on the back of a donkey and to go that fast.
We were saying he endured the cross, but it's so much more because he could have come down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put up with stuff because we have no power over it.
Yeah.
We put up with the long wait for the scenario to resolve itself because there's nothing I can do about it, so I'm going to have to wait.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to be on the cross, and
yeah.
He didn't have to do any of it. So even more so, that patience with the scenario that he had chosen.
Yeah.
To forgive us because it was worth it to him.
Yeah, thank you.
Just one of those mentions. He waited 30 years before starting his ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I had never really contemplated that, but
yeah.
Wouldn't you be thinking, can I just get going?
Yeah.
Waited 30 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, wonderful. Time's gone. We're going to sing 2 songs that. Are going to help us commit to this path, to think as Jesus did, to be patient as he models patience for us, and to follow in his footsteps. So if you're able, let's stand and we'll sing by way of response.